In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. Good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, for the next 2 hours. We're going to be talking about, you guessed it, Central Valley High School sports. Maybe a little bit of Fresno State, maybe, but mostly dedicated to the great athletics in the Central Valley and beyond. Got to include the Coast schools because they are in the playoffs. And it is playoff season. Games played last night. There were 41 high school playoff games played last night. There was one on Thursday. Football playoffs are where it's at. We're excited to bring you all the action. Last night, we broadcasted Kingsburg and Redwood. Going to get to that game in just a second. But this is it. This is what all the teams build up for. This is what all those summer workouts are for, off-season workouts, those 7-on-7 camps. It all comes down to this: how far our team's going to advance in all six divisions. Well, you know, Division One broken up in two different divisions, 8-man football as well. So this is an exciting part of the year for sure. And then we'll be transitioning into basketball. Talked about basketball a little bit as well on the broadcast. Phil Benatti and I did the Kingsburg-Redwood game. Kingsburg rolls in that one 28-6. They are going to advance and play Golden West of Visalia in Division Two. I'm going to be running down the scores here. Well, who's coming on the show? After the break, we're going to bring on Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson. He's actually on location this morning. It was funny. So last night after the game, Phil Benatti and I are walking back to the parking lot and stopped and talked to a couple coaches, and Coach Wilson was there talking about the game and how well the kids played and a little bit about Golden West. He's like, "Sorry guys, I got to go." And the game was only 2 hours long, 2 hours on the dot, one of the shortest games we've ever broadcast. And he's like, "Guys, I got to go. My daughter's in a swim meet tomorrow morning. We're driving to SoCal." So Coach Wilson is going to join us from maybe the pool deck. I don't know. somewhere down there near a swimming pool. His daughter swims in college. So we're talking with Coach Wilson about his team. They are 7-4. Like I said, advancing to play number 2 Golden West in the D2 bracket. So looking forward to that. He's always up for a great conversation. After that, around 10:37 or so, Trevor Horn joins us. He does a fantastic job covering Kern Valley area athletics. He was at the Frontier and Bullard game. Unfortunately, the Knights fell 21-14 in that one. But always fun to catch up with Trevor. We like to have him on at least 2 or 3 times during the entire sports season. Does a great job covering football. Was at a few volleyball games as well this last week. Volleyball championships were played on Thursday. He's a fun guy, man. He could talk a mile a minute, but he's got opinions. He's got great stuff to say. So looking forward to talking to Trevor Horn in hour number 2. We're giving some volleyball love today. We got the D1 champion Clovis North girls volleyball team in the house. Coach Lauren Winslow, 3 senior captains, Ava Rogers, Kennedy Lingenfelter, and Dakota Morandi, coming in live here to First String Sports. So I said I needed to give volleyball a little more love. So they're coming in live here, and we're going to be chatting with them. They defeated Clovis West on the road. I guess it's on the road, away from home, in a foreign gym. Defeated them 3-0 to win their first Central Section girls volleyball championship in school history. At the bottom of hour number 2, we got Clovis High football in the house. They defeated Hanford last night, 49-31. That was, yes, a road game for the Cougars. They were the 5 seed. Hanford was the 4 seed. Got Maddox Merrill, star running back. And Coach Aaron Wilkins, he's going to come via phone. Maddox Merrill is going to be here live. So that's who's coming on the show. Really looking forward to this. A nice variety of athletes and coaches. Let's do the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. The weather has definitely turned into winterish weather. Currently it's 60 degrees, high today of 73. Beautiful, beautiful sky. Not a cloud in the sky right now. It's definitely football weather. And how about Fresno State playing at Air Force Falcon Stadium? Kickoff at 6:45 tonight. And it's supposed to be around freezing. 32 degrees. I got it at, 36 degrees at kickoff? By the end of the game, who knows how cold it's going to be. If you guys haven't seen pictures on Twitter or on social media, what it looks like, it looks like a huge snowstorm hit around the stadium. Snow-capped cars in the parking lot. So it's going to be extremely, extremely uncomfortable for Fresno State's kickoff. You know who doesn't care about the weather? Pat Hill. Does not care. He didn't even like the heating devices or fans on the sideline to keep players cool or warm. None of that stuff. Not for Coach Pat Hill. He always likes to talk about that when he's on the broadcast for high school football games. He's so much fun. Excited about that game tonight. The Bulldogs better win. They're 9.5-point favorites. They are. All right, I'm going to get to the football scores in just a second, but I might as well let you guys know who won the Central Section Volleyball Championships that were played on Thursday. State brackets come out tomorrow, so we'll know where the volleyball girls are headed for state. So it mentioned Clovis North defeated Clovis West in three games. In D2, Central Valley Christian defeated San Joaquin Memorial. In D3, Buller defeated Porterville on the road. That went to five sets. Fresno Christian defeated Emmanuel in D4. In D5, California City beat Coalinga in five sets. And in D6, Woodlake defeated Avenel on the road. So congrats to all those teams for winning Central Section Volleyball Championships. So it's time to get into the high school football scores from last night. And there was one game played on Thursday at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Centennial and Buchanan. So this is in the Division I single A. And Centennial was the 7 seed. Buchanan was the 2 seed, even though they went 1-4 in the track. They were the 2 seed in that division. Centennial was down their quarterback who broke his leg, I think, in game 3. So they didn't have a very capable replacement. However, they came to Veterans and put it on Buchanan defensively. Centennial advances as they won 20-7. Centennial picked off three passes and recovered at least one fumble. But probably, you know, was it an upset? I guess on paper. 7-2, but man, got to be disappointed if you're a fan of Buchanan football. They go down to Centennial. All right, so last night's games in Division 1A in that same bracket. Aurora Grande beat Clovis West at home 27-22. So the Golden Eagles season comes to an end. Bakersfield, the number one team, defeated San Joaquin Memorial 23-7. And I mentioned earlier, Frontier beat Bullard 21-14. Trevor Horn will have a breakdown of that game. So what does that mean? Well, that means nary a local team, which is the Fresno Clovis area, is going to be playing in the Division 1A championship. You got Frontier, the 3 seed, and Centennial. They're playing each other. And you got Aurora Grande and Bakersfield. So we got Coast against Bakersfield in the Division 1 playoffs. In the Division 1AA, the Big Daddies. Central defeated Bakersfield for the second time this season, 35-14. That game I nailed on the dot. I texted some of my predictions to a friend, and that one nailed it. Central advances, and they're going to be playing Clovis North, who beat Sanger 24-6. It is an all-track Final Four because Clovis East, the number one seed, defeated Tulare Union 48-20. The game was fairly close. Union hung around for a little bit. It was 14-12 at one point. And then the Timberwolves exploded to win by 4 touchdowns. I want to go back a little bit to the Central and Liberty game. Tell you what, Central is banged up, but those guys absolutely find a way to win. They do. And they're going to be taking on Clovis North, who also is a little banged up. McKay Madsen in that game rushed for 2 touchdowns and threw for a touchdown in the win against Sanger. That dude absolutely does it all. Last week in the loss to Clovis East for the track title, number one seed, he was the whole offense, and he was again. So it's going to be McKay Madsen and Clovis North Broncos against a Central team that is down a few players as well. So we'll see who comes out on that on top on that one. And the winner is going to be facing either Clovis East or Clovis High. Now, we're going to be talking with Maddox Merrill and Coach Wilkins about that Clovis High victory. But, gosh, Hanford, got a feel for them a little bit. 10-0 in the season, elevated to the Division I AA, and Clovis absolutely manhandled them. Let's be honest. They did. Maddox Merrill ran for, what I hear, over 200 yards. Deegan Rose was Deegan Rose, but it was a 49-12 game heading into the fourth quarter. So you go 10-0. You're a, you know, quote-unquote medium-sized school. You get thrown to the big dog. So nothing – can't take anything away from Clovis. But you got to feel a little bit for those Hanford bullpumps. All right, let's move on. Kingsburg, like I mentioned, defeated Redwood 28-6. San Luis Obispo over Highland 26-8. St. Joseph defeated Lemoore 24-23 in a tight one. And Sunnyside defeated Tehachapi 33-21, setting up – let's click on – the Max Preps. That's going to be setting up Bakersfield Christian. Let's see. This is in Division 2. There it is. Bakersfield Christian against St. Joseph. That's a 1-9. Sunnyside is going to travel to Tulare Western. The 4-seed Central Valley Christian, who had a bye, is going to be hosting San Luis Obispo. And then Kingsburg, the 7-seed, is going to be playing number 2. Golden West. Moving into Division 3, Kennedy defeated Stockdale 48-14. I'm predicting this. Kennedy's going to make it to the championship game as the 6th seed. Kerman defeated Mission Oak 42-20 in a rematch of last year's title game. Menachie defeated Lompoc 32-6, and Napomo defeated Independence 26-21. That's in Division 3. So Porterville against Menachie. Kerman and Justin Garza. That's going to be a really, really intriguing and good matchup. Justin Garza is the 4-seed, had a bye facing Kerman. They played early in the year. Justin Garza came away with a 3-point win. Rigetti is going to be playing Kennedy, and Napomo is going to be facing Madera, the 2-seed. These games are going to be Friday. In Division 4, Chowchilla 49, Cabrillo 23. Kalinga squeaks by Washington Union 23-22. Emmanuel, Mission Prep in one of the better games last night, 22-21. Emmanuel had a lead. Mission Prep took a lead 21-14. Emmanuel scores a touchdown, decided to go for 2, got the 2-point conversion, got a pick late in that game, and gets the win. McLean over Wasco 35-17, their first playoff win since 1995. North of Bakersfield defeated Templeton 30-13. And in an upset, is it really an upset? Well, 15-2, Roosevelt traveled to Exeter and won 23-16. So Exeter's season comes to an end at the hand of a really good Roosevelt team, who I believe was 7-3 on the season, and received a 15 seed in Division 4. That doesn't seem super fair to Exeter. However, that's why you play the game in front of you. Exeter's season comes to an end. And South, in an upset, defeated Dos Palos 14-7. Setting up Shafter against North. Shafter's the 1. Emmanuel McLean, that should be a fun one. Chowchilla and Kalinga, that's going to be a fantastic football game, a 3-6. And then South, the 10 seed against 15-seeded Roosevelt. Let's go to Division 5. Atascadero defeated Liberty 21-14. Bishop over Sanger West 41-6. Delano over Fowler 44-27. Hoover, 15 seed, another 15 seed from Fresno Unified School, defeated Woodlake 25-20. So Woodlake season comes to an end at the hand of Hoover. The Patriots won their first playoff game in a long, long time. Congrats to them. Selma defeated Mendota 28-21, and Strathmore over Santa Maria 38-7. All right, let's get to that bracket really quick, and then we'll hit a break and talk to Coach Wilson. There it is, Division 5. So Bishop Union is going to be playing Santa Ynez, Atascadero, and Morro Bay. Strathmore's the 3 seed facing Delano and Selma and Hoover. Seems like Strathmore is always seeded like 2, 3, 4, and always win a central section title. So I wouldn't doubt it if they made it far in that one. All right, so a little bit of a rundown as quick and best I could of the high school playoff games from last night. We're going to hear next from Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson. His Vikings are going to advance. They did advance, and we'll be playing Golden West on Friday. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, now we got Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson on the line. Defeated Redwood last night, 28-6, a game we had on 1430 ESPN. They're going to advance and play Golden West, the 2 seed. Kingsburg is now 7-4 on the season. Always love broadcasting games there in Kingsburg, California. Always a good time. And where else can you see the football team running out through a Viking ship with the lead player holding an American flag with Nordic music morphing into Motley Crue? That's Kingsburg, California. Coach Wilson, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Paul, how are you, man?
Doing great. All right, so exactly where are you right now? Because I told a story that you and I were chatting with Coach John Hall, offensive coordinator, and Phil, and you're like, guys, I'd love to chat, but I got to go. I got to drive down to SoCal right now for my daughter's swim meet. So what are you looking at right now?
Right now I'm standing in front of a swimming pool. I'm in Laguna Hills, California. My daughter swims at Azusa Pacific, and she has a swim meet today. And I didn't even know this school existed, Paul. It's called SoCU University, S-O-K-U. And it's beautiful. It's a really nice place. and just enjoying the nice sunny weather and looking forward to talking some football with you, man.
All right, so last night's game, you guys came out really, really hot, executed at a high level. Defense, the first two possessions for Redwood were 3-and-outs, and you guys went up 21-0 behind your running game. Your guy Drew Lundy played a really good football game. So what phase of the game, I guess, were you most satisfied with last night?
We did a lot of really good things here last night. So, yeah, you hit it right on the head. I was really happy with our defense, especially. I knew the challenges that Redwood kind of brings with their physical type of football. I mean, obviously, you'd mentioned last night on the telecast, you know, that their running back's phenomenal, you know, and him coming off the game like he had that last game of the year against Mount Whitney, that was something we really tried to focus on throughout the week, you know, and, you know, we you know, our goal every week as a defense is to try to take away what the other team does best and make them beat you some other way. And, I thought our defense did a pretty good job against their tailback. You know, he broke off a couple spots there. But for the most part, I think we contained him pretty well. And like you said, we got off the field when we needed to get off the field. I was extremely happy with the turnovers. I mean, when you play Redwood, you know, everything's kind of predicated off the way they run the football. And you want to get them in some situations where, you know, they're not doing what they're comfortable doing. And that's, second and long, third and long. Now they got to throw the ball. And we took advantage of that. I know Dallin Breckenridge had, I think, 2 interceptions. And one of our JV kids we pulled up, we put in late in the game because we were kind of running out of bodies there. Jonathan Muslow, he got an interception as well. And, you know, I was real impressed with the physicality on both sides of the football. I think our offensive line is a tad bit underrated. You know, when you talk about our team, you know, we don't have the big Andrew Voorhees, 6'5", 6'6" guy that just really sticks out. We just got a lot of tough kids, you know, and they really kind of set the tone, him and Lundy, and on offense, and then our defense responded, and, you know, playing that type of football where, you know, both sides of the ball are really working off one another, and I thought we did that really well. And, you know, we limit our mistakes, you know. We had the one little bad snap on the first punt, but after that, you know, we didn't have any turnovers except for the interception there at the end of the first half where we were trying to get some points. But all in all, I mean, I think it's defense and the physicality really set the tone on both sides, you know, against usually a a really physical opponent in Redwood.
Yeah, you're talking about stopping Jimmy Burke, who was coming off a game where he rushed for 240 yards against Mount Whitney.
Yeah,
he's a really good running back. And you guys did a fantastic job bottling him up for the most part. And you're right. I felt like, you know, you put Redwood in those third and long situations where they're not used to throwing the ball, and their defensive game plan came up and came up big. You guys made a couple big stops as well. I want to talk a little bit about your running back, Drew Lundy, who probably had his best game of the season. So what you know, I think he sealed the game with a 48-yard touchdown run late in that one. What can you say about that kid?
Well, I went home and listened to the telecast because I'm sick like that. You know what I mean? I just thought I'd listen to you guys. And I think you mentioned it. You know, we don't really have the gaudy numbers from one. And, you know, most high school teams got a receiver or a quarterback or a running back that just really has these real gaudy numbers here at the end of the year. And you'll notice with our team, I mean, I know the kids hate it because they want the ball, but we have a lot of guys that help us out, you know, with the Ryan Martinez's, the Chris Browse, the Dallin Breckenridge's, you know, the Cooper Holtz. And then obviously Drew's been that sort of bell cow, you know, when you need to really stabilize the running game. He's that kind of big, bulky back, you know. He's got some speed, obviously. You know, I was a little like, whoa, he's off on that 48-yard run.
Yeah.
But he's a chunk yard guy, you know. He's a 10-yard guy at a time, you know. And we've had those type of backs at Kingsburg in the past with the Bo Jacksons and the Trace Jacksons and even Dennis Gagnon last year. And he's kind of really stepped into that role. And I know how these high school kids are. That, you know, they're kind of volume guys. They like to get the ball. They want to get a rhythm. They want to get going. And we haven't necessarily been able to do that a lot this year with just one guy because, you know, Gabe's done a great job of really spreading the ball out and getting the ball in the hands of other playmakers, and I think that makes us much more balanced. So, as you know, I know with Coach Hall and myself, we enjoy the fact that we have options. But, you know, last night he proved that he was kind of our one option last night. We wanted to really establish the run. When you get into these playoff games, you know, they're all good. Teams are good. It's physical. And that was something we went into this game thinking, let's really try to establish the line of scrimmage and then kind of play off of that. And you saw in the first half, I mean, it really worked out well. You know, he was chunk yard in the Redwood at times. And then from there, we could do our play action game, run some screens, and do some things like that. And Drew's just a good kid, real physical, loves football. You know, that's the joy of coaching at Kingsburg High School. These kids have all played since they were in third grade. And
yeah.
And he's always been a rough and tough running back, real physical, doesn't avoid contact, and then obviously when he gets some space and he gets an opening, he can turn it on, and that was fun to watch. Our offensive line played really well.
They did. Absolutely. Your defensive line played great. I just came up with this, and I just wrote this down, Coach, while you're talking about Drew Lundy. I know how big of a wrestling fan you are, and you used the word chunk a couple times in talking about it. How about we nickname him the Chunk Yard Dog?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Huh? Look at that. Perfect. Right here on air,
10:33.
The CYD. He's your chunk yard dog. All right. I got one more question for you. Yeah, I got one more question for you, Coach, before you get back to that swimming pool down there in SoCal. So what do you know about Golden West? Been following them all year. We have the number 2 seed putting up a lot of points. They've won 9 straight. Yeah. Like, you know, it's never too early to game plan. So how are you going to be able to stop that prolific offense?
Well, I mean, Coach Anderson's done a good job. I mean, I like Travis a lot. He since he's gotten the Golden West, he's really not just kind of gotten turned into a good football team. It's just a culture change there. And he's started from the ground up, you know, and that's a school, like with many schools in the high school where – you know, they always ebb and flow. They're good and they're bad. And he's really kind of built it from a toughness standpoint. And then they just bring a whole new set of problems, unlike Redwood. I mean, now you're dealing with a really wide-open offense, receivers all over the place. They got a trigger man with their quarterback that is really talented. And they bring some athleticism. So when you think about game planning for Golden West, it's almost a different thought process. But then all that being said, they got a really good running back. You know, they can hand the ball off to him, and they kind of spread you out to run. And then, you know, it's always hard to coach against confidence. It's a real confident team right now. I mean, they earned that second seed and a bye week, and I'm sure they were all at the game last night watching us and getting ready to play us. And so it's going to be pretty challenging. I'm always real impressed, too, when we go to Golden West. We've done it in the past. I got a real lively student section, and it's just a really neat football culture there in Visalia. The good thing is our boys are battle-tested. You know, you look at our schedule, we've played some really tough football teams, and we've had some bumps and we've had some bruises. But we're 4 in a row right now, and we're playing our best football when you need to be playing your best football. And, you know, what we need to do is obviously game plan the best we can for Golden West. But like I always tell our kids, it's really about kind of, you know, making sure we play well, doing what we need to do to put ourselves in the best spot to win the football game. And the scoreboard kind of takes care of itself. And, you know, when you get to this time of year, it's all the intangibles. You know that. It's penalties, it's turnovers, and then big plays and things like that. So we got to make sure we take care of that.
Absolutely. All right. Coach Dave Wilson, Kingsburg High, defeated Redwood last night. Going to be taking on Golden West next Friday. Always fun to talk to you. Have fun down there and enjoy your weekend. And go swimming, right? Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to let my daughter do the swimming.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. It's Dave Wilson, head coach of Kingsburg. Always a fun guy. Wish I always had more time to talk with him. He does a fantastic job down there. All right, we're going to be talking with Trevor Horn next. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, the only place where you can get your Letterman's jackets here in the Fresno Clovis area. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. To my right, I got... Oh, man, they restock these things. There's Selma, Woodlake, Central, Kalinga, who share the same one. There's Hoover, big win from the Patriots last night. Edison, Kerman to my left. Torres, Madera, Sanger, Clovis North behind me, Clovis High. Come down here to First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue. You guys know where it is, in between Herndon and Sierra. Okay, so I got Trevor Horn on the line right now. Does fantastic work down in the Bakersfield area. You could follow him at Trev Horn on the X machine, and he just tweeted out, "Tune in, I've got things to say." When I always talk to Trevor Horn, he's got plenty of things to say. So, Trev, what say you this morning?
Do you still have your Letterman jacket?
I do. It's in the closet. I keep saying one of these days I'm going to wear that bad boy on the show. It barely fits me, right? I got to, you know, it smells like an old Letterman's jacket from the late 80s.
My old one.
Can you fit?
I'm sure you could still fit into mine. It's in the closet somewhere.
Well, what's yours decorated with?
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. What is yours decorated with?
I got to apologize to Jeremiah. I think I gave him a heart attack, so I apologize.
What'd you scare him with?
Oh, he was like, "Hey, you're going to be on with Paul here in a second." I go, I'm sorry, who? Paul Metters. I go, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he paused for a second. And I said, "Hey, man, I'm just joking. I'm sorry." So I apologize.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, not everybody knows, you know, your type of sense of humor, especially if they don't know you. Like, I mean, that's just casual. That's
very
casual
dry.
Trev right there. Very dry. Very dry. So you were at Bullard and Frontier, true story, last night, right? What'd you see last night?
I saw a pretty evenly matched game. I saw two teams that love to throw the ball deep but have playmakers. Bullard, obviously, a very one-dimensional offense. They don't run the ball all that much. Frontier has really turned into a balanced offense with R.J. Green taking the lion's share, running the ball now for Frontier. Brady Campbell's really kind of come into his own as a quarterback, and you just saw Frontier able to make three plays rather than two for Bullard, and it was a 21-14 edge. It went down to the wire. Bullard had a chance at midfield with 2 minutes left, threw an incompletion, turnover on downs. Frontier had a chance to run out the clock. They had a holding play on a run that went down to the one-yard line that brought them back to the 31. And then they had fourth and 11 from the 33 and were able to complete a ball from Campbell to Song Gimbe down to the four-yard line. They were able to nail it out. Frontier, after that disaster against Central last year in the playoffs, after going 10-0 in the regular season, we'll get into that in just a second. lost in the first round of the Division I playoffs last year, and here they are in 1-8 now, and they will host a league foe that they just saw 2 weeks ago in Centennial next week. Pretty cool stuff.
Well, they beat your Buchanan Bears. That's where your Letterman's jacket's from, right, Buchanan?
That is correct. And I was at that game Thursday night.
If you look at it from the perspective of the Fresno Clovis area, you would say Buchanan laid an egg, right? That's probably the G-rated version if you're a Buchanan fan about how Buchanan played.
You have four turnovers and three of them are interceptions. And honestly, there should have been a fourth interception that was ruled out of bounds when it wasn't later in the game for the Centennial defense. Yeah, it was, Josh Madrigal was kind of running for his life all night long, and Centennial's defense just seemed to be in the right place at the right time every chance they had. They had that one nice run in the first quarter for the Bears, but other than that, that offense just couldn't do anything against a very opportunistic Golden Hawks defense. And so, congratulations to Coach Richard Sterrett and the Centennial Golden Hawks. I mean, they're playing with a third-string quarterback right now, with Jen Santiago out for the year. And then Roland Myers, who's their backup, only was able to play defense Thursday night because he banged up his shoulder pretty well and he can't throw the ball right now, but he's able to play defense. And so Grant Scott came in, third-string quarterback, threw the ball around, didn't turn the ball over, and Centennial is able to upset the Bears in a 7-2 matchup. And now they get to, play down the street, if you will, next Friday.
So you got Bakersfield, the one playing Aurora Grande, hosting them, and then Frontier Centennial, like you mentioned. So it's looking pretty good, looking pretty solid for an all Bakersfield matchup in the single A.
Well, that you've got that, and then obviously you've got the track final four and one double A. But it's kind of doing some research, and I've heard a lot of griping over the last 12 hours about what happened last night. And you look at the 4-year sample size, Paul, and I'm using a 4-year sample size because I'm coming out of COVID and doing the 21, 22, 23, and 24 playoffs in Division I. And it's rinse, wash, repeat. The best teams are going to win, and the teams that are probably in the bottom half of the bracket are just going to lose. It's just the way the Division I is. It's big boy football. It's not just like that here in the Central section, like that in the Sac-Joaquin section. It's definitely like that down in the Southern section. If you want to get into the weeds about it, look at 2021. We were at 18 bracket, just like we are this year. The average margin of victory in those four first-round games was 44-16. Clovis North, was just an 8 seed then. Buchanan was a 1 seed overall. Have we forggotten about that, Paul?
Yeah.
It was a 35-3 victory for the Bears. How about San Joaquin Memorial is the 2 seed that year, beating the 7 seed Garces Rams 35-10. The average margin of victory was 44-16 that year. In 2012, we went to 12 teams. Average margin of victory in the first round games, 37-13. Last year, the big one that kind of changed the script and pushed us back to an 8-man division and creating this second Division I bracket, those average margin of victories in the first four playoff games was 40-13. Last night, 39-18. So if we're really going to look at it, last night was actually more competitive than it has been on a small sample size and a scale compared to the three previous years in the Division I playoffs.
Yeah, that's great data right there. And the competitive equity model, that's the umbrella that CIF uses, right? And the ebbs and flows, Trevor, of any sport, right? I'm not just talking high school football, but basketball and baseball. You're going to have really good classes. You're going to have some transfers, right? San Joaquin Memorial a couple years ago, played in the championship game against Liberty, and now they, fell in round one to Bakersfield High. So, right, like the top four teams, in my opinion, all season, I said 6 weeks ago that I would be very surprised if Clovis East, if Clovis North, Central, and Clovis High were not the final four in the highest division, and it came to fruition. So, I mean, right, they're good for a reason. And, the number 8 seed teams are number 8 for a reason. They don't have much of a chance to win football games. So here we are. There's always going to be people complaining, but I think if you want competitive equity across the board, the top four teams are the final four teams in Division I AA.
Right. you know, and I hear the argument, oh, well, you know, how can you can only – why don't you just make it a four-team playoff in football? You can't do that because you only get your section chance moving on to the state finals. Unlike basketball, whatever, soccer, volleyball, only the section champions throughout the state advance. Not even the Southern Section. You tell me that – you know. I don't understand what people want out of this because it's just the way it is. There's not enough time in the year. You're not going to move games earlier in the year. You're not going to move games into finals and Christmas break. This is the window of opportunity that we have over 16 weeks to see as much football as we can. And this is just the way it is. And is it fair? No. Is life fair? No. But you put yourself out there, you compete. I saw the headlines. I know that there was a coach that played in Division I playoffs last night, said, we don't belong here. Everybody that loses feels that way in the moment. In retrospect, you're probably going to go back and look and say, wow, we had a historic year that year. We were given the opportunity to play against the best. We came up short, but dang, the journey was fun. And that's sometimes how you have to leave it. Or you could sit there and look at the analytics and figure out what exactly needs to be done. The only thing that I could see that could be done that could change this is if you move up in the division, you should be guaranteed a home game. And if you can't get a home game, if you move up and you're a league champ, I apologize. If you move up and you're a league champ, you should be able to be guaranteed a first-round home game. Now, if you can't move up and it can't logistically find you a home game in the upper division, keep them in the base division and allow them to play in their base division. That could be it. Because right now, when you look at it, there's only 9 teams at D1 that are D1-based teams. And only 8 of them this year made the playoffs, Edison being the one that didn't make the playoffs. So you could do that and couple it with when you're Division I in football, you sign a contract that says you can't drop down to D2. But the problem with that as well, Paul, when you look at everything with the devil's advocate, but you've got Arroyo Grande, Centennial, Clovis East, Clovis West, and Frontier, all D2 bases. So
yes.
Are you telling me that Clovis East should be D2 because they're D2 base? Give me a break. You know, like, it's falling into place.
I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. Clovis East, as a base D2.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, five years ago, you never would have predicted that.
2 years ago. Clovis East lost to St. Joe 41-6 as the 11th seed in Division I. And here they are, top 15 in the state of California. It's an ebbs and flows when you have a section that is so public school based like the Central Section. How about this? Look at the Division I-A playoffs last night, and you add in the Centennial Buchanan game. The margin of victory in those four games, 23-13. All four of those games were really good games.
I agree. No argument for me.
There was a little bit of separation in 1AA, but it all made sense in 1A, which if you think about it, in the, 10, 15 years ago, those would all been the 9th and 16th seeds in D1 instead of being a second Division I or D2 if you really, like a quasi D2 if you get to it. But you may have saw 39-18 games in 1AA, but you saw four great games in 1A last night.
I agree, even down to Division II, right? So the Kingsburg-Redwood game, it was 28-6. San Luis Obispo-Highland, 26-8, not bad. St. Joseph-Lemoore, 24-23. Sunnyside-Tehachapi, 33-21. So, I mean, decent games. The blowouts weren't there that CIF's trying to avoid.
Right. I mean, even you look at that Sunnyside-Tehachapi game. On paper, you look at that game, this should be a total blowout because Sunnyside was undefeated on the field. Tehachapi, league champ. There is a team that should be griping right now. This is a Tehachapi team that has gone, what is it?
Well,
29-5 over the last 3 years. They've won the league, their league all 3 years, undefeated in their league. Last year, they had to go into Division II with the 9th seed. They went over to BHS and beat the Drillers in the first round, and the loss to eventual state champions in CBC. Last night, they lost to Sunnyside. Is Sunnyside the best team in D2? Obviously, Bakersfield Christian is going to have something to say about that. But Sunnyside might be the most powerful team in D2.
Yeah, offensive-wise,
they had to forfeit four games.
Yes, correct.
It's,
How about
it's a very interesting year. We saw two 15 seeds win last night. I mean, there is competitiveness in these playoffs. It's just you feel for Tulare Union and Hanford. Let's just get it out there. But you feel for somebody every year in Division I. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, Tulare Union, they, you know, all year they were about the 10-11 spots. Same with Sanger. And then the brackets come out. You hit the refresh button on Cal Preps, and, oh, my gosh, look, they're 7-8. So, yeah, that's
to be honest, do you know what happened? The strength of schedule for Sanger's win and then Tulare Union beating Tulare Western strengthened their SOS and pushed them above Bakersfield High when Bakersfield beat Independence in the final week of the regular season last week. So that's what happened was BHS's strength of schedule dropped because of Independence, and the other two moved up, and that's how those two jumped into 1AA, and Bakersfield High was able to drop down and be the one seed in 1A.
So Trev, we got about another 4 minutes here. Do you think obviously schedules are, you know, in advance, talking about football schedules 1-2, sometimes even 3 years in advance. Do you think coaches now are taking a hard look at their schedules, either scheduling really, really tough teams, so maybe they go 6-4 and or stay in their base division, or what? How do you think coaches' mindsets have changed because of this?
I think it's cyclical. I think you have to understand who you are as a program and who will play you and what type of opponents you can get to play you. Because that's the thing. When you become too good, nobody wants to play you. So you've got to just go fight and claw and try to find games throughout the state or even sometimes out-of-state games like Frontier. After they went 10-0, they were bringing a bunch of guys back. They decided to bolster up their schedule. They played a Highland team out of Arizona. They played Clovis. I mean, they had a gauntlet. They played Oak Ridge out of the Sacramento region, and they went 2-3 in non-league. And now here they are in the semifinals of D1A because they took those lumps early on in the season. The game slowed down. They got healthier, the Titans did, throughout the year. They had a bunch of injuries in the beginning of the season, and now here they are playing in the semifinals at home with a likely matchup in town against Bakersfield High on the 22nd in the finals. So I don't know, man. It's do you schedule down in non-league just to get a few extra wins? I don't know. Or do you schedule up and maybe drop down? I don't know. I don't really know. It all comes down to each coach and their philosophy. It all comes down to each coach and their program and who they can play because, you know, I spent 5 years at Garces, trying to do the schedules for football. And, you know, a lot of times people go, well, you guys are always too good. We don't want to play. And I'm like, who do you think we are? Like, Division One, low seed in Division One, the three previous years the Rams were, and they all got ousted in the first round of Division One. But they had to play up because the schedule was according. And so they got a couple easier games this year. Obviously, they still lost. But, you know, it all comes, and then it's all cyclical. Who do you have coming back in your program? Do you have a bunch of seniors this year and you don't know what you're going to have next year?
Well, in the case
– so many different variables.
There is. And in the case of Kingsburg, just talked to Coach Dave Wilson. Not the most talented team in the last 4 years are the Vikings, but who did they schedule? They scheduled at Clovis East and at Sanger. So those kids were battle-tested, and they looked physical last night. So there's a lot to say for that. All right, Trev, we got – another minute or so. I definitely want to ask you about Veterans Day, but one more question football-wise. Who do you think's taking it? It just seems like Clovis East and 1AA, it's their season to lose, basically. It seems like a team of destiny.
It really does. I mean, their quarterback is just so good. You know, obviously they bolstered their lineup over the offseason, rightfully so. People want to go play with a hot hand, and that's their right and their privilege, and the T-Wolves are playing as such, but, you know, it's tough to beat the same team twice in the regular season. That's what they're likely going to have. That's what they're going to have to do this week and in the championship because it's obviously four league foes. So it's going to be really interesting. It's really tough to do it twice. So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, I think Clovis East is showing that they are the best team around, just like Clovis North was last year. It'll be interesting what happens to the section champ in Division One AA going to the state playoffs, because obviously Clovis North had to go up and play in a gauntlet against De La Salle, and we all know how that ended.
And Clovis East has to get through a really good Clovis High team as well. All right, so Trevor, happy Veterans Day to you, my friend. Hope you have a great weekend Monday. I know you're a veteran, very proud of your service. Thank you for that, my dad as well. So happy Veterans Day to you, my friend, and everybody else out there.
I appreciate you.
All right, Trev.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Love you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Love you, too.
All right. That's Trevor Horn. Does a fantastic down there in Bakersfield land and all the surrounding areas. Could have talked for him for a long time. But we got to move on. We take a break here. And we got Clovis North girls volleyball in the house live here at First String Sports. They are your Division One Central Section champs. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a great first hour. Hour number two coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Had a great first hour talking about high school football. Playoffs were last night. The Final Fours are set in Division One, Double A, One Single A. Championship games are going to be played the day after Thanksgiving in Divisions Two through Six, and then a week prior in Division One, Double A, One Single A, and I think eight-man football is on that weekend as well, that Friday as well. So lots of fun stuff to talk about. Hey. Like it, love it, hate it, somewhere in between the playoffs. They are what they are, and coaches say, hey, we got to play the game in front of us, no complaining, and try to get the job done. And it's always about the adventure, right? Winning championships is obviously fun. Losing championships is heartbreaking. It sticks with you forever, as is winning. But it's about the journey. It's about the experience with teammates and coaches and living life together. And we have in the house right now at First String Sports, we got the Clovis North girls volleyball team, D1 Central Section champs, after defeating Clovis West on the road, so to speak, just down the street, kind of. Swept them, right? 3-0.
We did.
It's the first girls volleyball title in school history, 38-5 overall. We got Coach Lauren Winslow and three senior captains, Ava Rogers, Kennedy Liegenfelter, and Dakota Morandi. Right here to my left. And we're going to have to share a headset because we got three volleyball players excited about talking with them. All right. First of all, you guys excited, nervous, a little bit of both? Like, how are you guys feeling this morning?
I'm really excited.
Yeah, excited. Super happy.
We got some good stories from these girls, Coach. I mean, talk about how they've been together. Two of them played varsity as freshmen, but what can you say about this group of seniors here sitting to your left, but the team overall?
I think the team overall, mostly led by the seniors, there was just a resolve in this spring to make sure that we had all the pieces of the puzzle, but it was our job to put it together and just make sure that, you know, we had it in front of us. And you know, in the track, and especially in the central section, no one's going to give it to you. So it was going to be earned, not given. And I think that they did an exceptional job of leading their team. All the seniors, everyone kind of knew their role on the team, and everyone did it exceptionally, especially on Thursday night against Clovis West.
So you guys won 38 games and lost 5 overall, an excellent record. Now that it's been, girls, a full day and a morning and a night to celebrate Thursday night, like, has it still hit you that you guys are champs? Like, are there certain moments like, did we really do that? Like, what's going through your mind?
Honestly, it really doesn't feel real still. Like, it hasn't fully set in, and I'm waiting for it to, like, actually set in that we're, like, we won. And I know we, like, obviously we did win, but it still hasn't, like, the feeling hasn't gone away of, like, wow, we actually did it. Like, we completed our goal that we've been working for, like, this entire season.
Dakota, has it really sunk in and hit you?
I still think it doesn't feel real, like Kennedy said, but I think looking back at it, we all, like, just smile just thinking about it, so it's been super fun.
Ava, what about you?
I feel like we just played an amazing game, and it just, like, is crazy that we finally did it. Like, I don't know what they said. It just doesn't feel real that we.
Well, who had the biggest, like, celebration? Did somebody scream the loudest or was jumping up, you know, a little higher than everybody else? Like, who really, really celebrated on your team?
I honestly think it was Sophia. She was running in circles around everywhere. She honestly didn't even know it was game point. That's how that's how excited she was.
What about you, Dakota? Like, who? Like, what did you do? Like, celebrating?
I was just really happy at every point. I think, like, especially after taking a big lead in the first set, we were all super happy, and we knew, like, we got this, and everyone was so locked in, and everyone was, like, pretty equal, like, ready to win it.
Kennedy, did you feel like you blacked out a few times? Like, there's certain parts you don't remember or lose, like, 5 minutes of time?
That's definitely true. There was definitely times where I was, like, I would be so focused on the game. Like, Sophia, I didn't even realize it was, like, like game point that we were, like, 1 point away from winning, like, a Valley Championship. So, I definitely blacked out at some points because I think we were all just so, like, locked in and we were so ready, like, we were going to do this, and it finally happened.
Coach, I want to ask you about that, the championship match. Clovis West had beat you, right, in that final week of track.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was on your mind. So, like, what was the game plan, both mentally and physically, going into that game?
Yeah, so first, I would say, like, there is opportunity to take away, I think, more from a loss than there is from a win sometimes. And it really stung the team. And so we transitioned what we did in practice after that loss against Clovis West. And it was all situational drills where we were down, we were behind, and you had to come back and win. Or you had to get a first ball kill in a drill in order to get out of it. I'm sure there were days that these girls thought that I was absolutely insane and thought that it was just too much and I was asking too much of them. But I knew that if we could figure out a way to get first ball kills and to serve tough, you know, certainly I'm not going to take anything away from Clovis West in that track championship game because they came back and pulled off a reverse sweep, which is huge. But it was there for us for the taking, and I think we got a little bit of ahead of ourselves and did not stay locked in. And so, you know, and especially in the third set against Clovis West this past Thursday, we were actually down in the last 5 points, and I called a timeout, and I just said, you have been practicing for this exact moment for 2 weeks. It's not happening again. So I think that loss against Clovis West, you know, it still stings in the track championship. But it couldn't have come at a better time. And to have a rematch in the Valley Championship was just icing on the cake.
Ava, what about for you? Was that kind of the mentality of, hey, we know, you know, that loss stung against Clovis West, but we got a chance to redeem ourselves and win the big one?
Yeah, I honestly think that we needed that loss so we could get more locked in, especially since, like, we beat them in three the first time. Like, we needed that loss to be able to rebuild ourselves as a team and just, like, get together and, like, play our best game on Thursday.
All right, so, girls, what position did you guys play? So help me out here. Obviously, you know, you guys played an important role in the game, but, like, what position did you guys play?
Like,
setter, I mean, outside hitter. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm an outside hitter.
Okay.
I'm a setter.
And I'm a middle blocker.
There you go. All right, so talk about the flow of the game, like, you mentioned were you guys down 5 points in the first game. Did I hear that right?
In the third set,
we were down about, I think three, like 21-18 at one point, yeah.
Okay. So, girls, just talk about the flow of the game. Like, did you feel you guys were playing well, gelling together, or, you know, obviously volleyball is a game of runs. Like, you guys have some big runs. Like, kind of describe the flow of the game.
Honestly, I think the flow of the game was – we were always, like, ahead, and we were always locked in until, like, the third set. But I think during practice, like Coach said, like, we had these situations where, like, it never felt like, oh, my gosh, like, we're losing it. Like, we're like, starting to get, like, stressed out. Like, we always, like, felt in control. Like, we had no, like, there was no moments, at least for any of us, that, like, it was panic. Like, there, and I think that's really huge because in, like, past seasons, it's always been, like, panic. And, like, if we ever get down, we always start, like, just, like, spiraling down even farther. And this year, I felt like those situational practices, like, really helped us. Like, we never felt like we were actually, like, oh, we're going to lose. Like, it was like, no, it's only 3 points. And then when we side out, it's only 2 points. And then we just go, like, 1 point at a time. And that's been a really big thing for us this year was it's 1 point at a time. It's one game at a time. It's one set at a time. So,
Dakota, how'd it go for you? Like, you felt really confident with your sets and where all your teammates are going to be. Like, that was just like almost a perfect match for you guys.
Yeah, and before the game, I remember talking to Sophia, and we were saying how, like, it was weird. Like, there were not really nerves. Like, we were all just super excited to, like, get it done because we knew we could do it. And there was a point in the first set where it was, like, 13-16, and I'm pretty sure they only got one more point after that. So that was nice to take that big lead and have that, like, stretch of points where we were able to, like, show, like, why we deserve to be there.
Coach, I want to ask you individually about these girls and what they brought. Obviously, seniors, leaders, you guys are champions. But what did each of these girls bring to the program the entire year?
You know, I think it's leadership's a hard thing. And I've told them before that, you know, when things are going well, seldom will they get the credit. But when things are going bad, it's suddenly it's their burden to bear. And sometimes that's the hard call of leadership. And I just think that they serve their teammates really well. And they were balanced. They all were willing to serve their teammates. They were not thinking about themselves first. It was always team first. And so I think it was really just their mindset and their buy-in to this is the only way we're going to get it done. And so I think every single one of them just filled the role that they were asked to fill on the team, and they did it exceptionally. Their execution of that part was great, and then they were good leaders for what that looked like for the rest of their team to be able to follow as well.
So volleyball can be a long season. Am I
yes,
right?
Yes.
So 38 plus 5, was that 43?
Yeah.
So 43 games, and you got state playoffs coming up as well. You know, the ebbs and flows of a senior, especially your senior year, right? You're excited about it. Maybe you go through a little lull. Maybe you have some infights or whatever you want to call it, right? Some dissension. But did you girls come together before the year and say, hey, this is our senior year. These are our goals. This is what we want. It's going to be a long season, but we need to stick together. Was there any type of bonding moments really like that you guys can share?
I think us seniors knew that, like, this was the last chance we had to, like, really pull out something big. And Winslow gave us the month of July off, which was really nice because it gave us a little time to, like, reset, take a break, and come back, like, locked in and ready. So that was really nice. And then taking our trip to Florida, like, we knew it was going to be tough volleyball, but we were excited. And that was, like, definitely a bonding moment for the team to be like, okay, like, we can do it. We played great teams here. We can come back to the Valley and do the same.
All right, Ava?
I think we, like, came together, like, before the season because we knew we had to change the culture and, like, be teammates. Like, we're not just playing volleyball together. We're becoming, like, best friends throughout the season. And it hasn't been, like, easy in, like, the first 4 years we've been playing, but I feel like my senior year we all were close, and playing, like, as friends is so much easier. Like, it's just so much easier, and it, like, helps the flow of the game, like, way better.
And it's more fun.
And it's more fun.
There's that word, huh? Fun.
Fun.
Kennedy, what about you? Was there a certain moment during the year, you know, that you felt like really tight? Maybe you guys like shared a meal together or did something fun in a locker room?
Honestly, I think it was really the trip to Florida that like really got us like locked in and prepared, because we were playing these teams that across the country that were just amazing. Like, they were amazing hitters. They were going to these really high D1 schools, and we were playing with them, and we were competing with them, and we were even like playing and like winning against them. So I think like after we had the tournament in Florida, we all came back and we were like, okay, we can do this. Like, this is like a breath of fresh air. We were just competing at our highest level and getting great results there. Why wouldn't we be able to do that here? And so I think it was really good to go see other teams and then compare them back to the Valley and be like, okay, we got this.
So coach, you know, you with these girls, you know, meals, you know, bus rides, plane rides, I guess, and practices. When did you know how far to push these girls, right? That's sometimes as a coach, you got to figure that out, right? Like, do I want them to hate me after practice, or do I want them to love me after practice, right? How did you know how, when and where to push these girls?
I think building relationships with each of them individually, and I knew what I could demand from each player, and what I could say to each player. And so I think the unique thing about probably all Clovis schools is that we have the ability to have these girls in our PE classes as well. And so in or out of season, I'm seeing these girls every single day, and it gave me a unique opportunity to build good relationships with them. And so when I was demanding something from them in practice, I don't think that they thought, gosh, she's so mean. I think that they thought, I think she's right, and I think she wants to win. So I'm going to do that. So it was a lot of the relationship building to know what I could demand of them and when I could do it.
Is that true, girls? Is there, like, coach pushed you maybe to the edge sometimes, but you always knew that she had your best interest in mind? Is that the case?
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially at the beginning of the season, we all, like, a whole team, she came, like, to us, and we all had a talk of, like, okay, what's our goals this year? Like, what do we want to do? And we all had the same goal of, like, winning Valleys, and she said, okay, so I'm going to push you to your guys' limits, and you guys have to follow me, and we all agreed, and I think ever since then, it was, like, a complete buy-in, because we knew that not only did we want it, but our coaches wanted it as well, so we all, like, just came together and just fought for it.
So obviously winning the Valley Championship was like the epitome, right? Like you guys were at the very top. Was there another moment throughout the season? You mentioned the Florida, you mentioned the Clovis West loss, but like at what moment did you guys think, hey, you know, this is something very, very special. We could make the best of this situation right now.
I think even though I was not there at that game, I was sick, but at the Buchanan game, I was watching, and the team was playing really well, and we were down in the fifth set, and Sophia Sanchez came back with her serves, and that was just a really cool moment because, like, we knew that under pressure and in any situation, like, it wasn't over until it hit 15 or it hit 25, so it was really cool to see and watch and be a part of a team that really wants the win.
Ava, do you have a moment during the season?
I kind of agree with Dakota with that game. I also think, like, in the tournaments, like, our tournament, Clovis, like, I feel like we were able to, like, push to the very end, like, and not give up, even though we were so tired because we played so many games. I feel like we pushed through to the end and played our best volleyball, even, like, at the last game, like, towards the last point, especially in slow when we went to 3 in the tournament with them, and it was, like, 15, like, 11. We had to push, like, the whole time, and we were so happy to get the win.
Talking with the Clovis North girls volleyball team. They are the D1 Central Section champs. All right, so I saw the brackets when they came out, and, you know, I knew you had that great match against Clovis West, and they won the track title on that. But then when I was looking at the standings and the rankings on Max Preps, and then when I saw the brackets come out, San Luis Obispo is number one. Right. Did you guys feel a little disrespected by that? Did you play with the chip? You guys were the 4 seed, right, and our Valley champs, but did you guys play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, Coach, like when you saw that?
I mean, I think looking at the sides of the bracket, I definitely preferred the side of the bracket that we were on. I think that, you know, us, Clovis West, Clovis High, we were all surprised by Slow getting the 1 seed. They're a great team, but we had beat them, West had beat them, Clovis High had beat them, and they were seeded 1. You know, and you know, you follow track sports all the time. Track is kind of a barn burner every single year. And so there's a lot of infighting here in the central section before we even get to the tournament. And so I think it was surprising, but I don't think that we ever gave off the feeling that, you know, we already had to travel there and beat them there twice. And what's one more time? Let's go do it again. So I never think it was like, we weren't throwing a tantrum that we got the 4 seed. Would we have liked to be at home? Sure. But it was another opportunity that we got to, you know, go on a trip and be with our team one last time, you know, maybe that we thought. And so I think the girls handled it really well. We traveled the night before and then we were just there all day. So I think if anything, we just had fun.
Yeah. And, you know, when I saw that, like I said, I was a little surprised following volleyball the last few weeks of the season, so you guys took care of business. That's the best way to put it. All right, is there a funny moment that stands out to you guys? I know you guys are smiling right now, but is there like some crazy moment? I know, right, there's bonding experience, maybe, you know, fighting over music, you know, who gets in charge of that. You guys have a fun story?
We actually do have a funny story. So when we were in Florida, another time in Florida, we were playing in the waves, and the waves were really strong, and all of a sudden it just started raining. And so we're like, we have to get back inside. And the whole team was like trying to run inside. Everybody was like falling in holes on the beach. We were all falling over. And I feel like we were just like laughing so much. And I like, we loved that moment because we came together. We were like together as a team, and like we had fun, and we were just ready for
were
the
you,
games.
Were you there on the beach too with them, Coach?
Yeah, of course. I'm a certified lifeguard.
Well, there you go. I mean, Were you scared that they were going to get hurt running around, right? And, you know, they were spraining an ankle on the beach. You're just like,
no,
we got to get out of here.
If that I mean, obviously I would never hope for that to happen. But, like, I don't know. You got to let them be kids, too.
Yes.
You got to let them have fun. Like, I'm taking them across the country. And it was kind of like a legacy trip. They worked really hard to fundraise to make that trip possible and play high-level teams. And so if we're going to go, you're going to have fun. So.
Absolutely. All right, Kennedy, you got a fun story. You got the headset on now.
I think definitely just that, like, when we all were doing it, because we were all, like, I think Sophia Sanchez, we were playing, like in the water, and this wave just absolutely, like, trucked her. And we were all wondering, like, where she was. And then she just, like, emerges, and she's just, like hair in front of her face. And just, and then we were all running back, and then I believe she tripped in a hole and fell. Sophia's definitely our comedy person on our team.
Comedic relief.
Comedic relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned her. She had a big serve, though, right? I think I heard her name.
Yeah.
She had a big serve in the Buchanan game. What about for you, Dakota? Is there a fun moment that sticks out?
Honestly, the Florida trip, like they were saying, I remember, like, Sophia was funny in the waves. Olivia and Lauren Ayerza, man, they were the tinier people on the team, but they were getting demolished by the waves. It was really funny. But, yeah, that was a good time.
What's the best meal you guys had? Do you have anything different in Florida? Is there something...
There was one place in Florida that was
Cava.
Actually really good. Yeah,
right.
Cava was really good.
Yeah, Mediterranean food.
Team dinner at Heirloom before Slow was definitely really good.
There's an here in Fresno, the Heirloom here? Okay, I'm like, there's a Heirloom there? What's your go-to food at Heirloom? You guys have one?
The fried rice, definitely. All of us love
that.
I think
the whole team loves the fried rice, yeah.
Get like 17 orders of that and just go to town. All right, so I asked you, Coach, off air, playing in, Cellular Arena for basketball versus playing at home, right? Having the opportunity for your student section to be on top of the action and celebrate with the wins. Like, why is that special, right? That moment of playing, you know, obviously your game with Clovis West was on the road. However, I'm sure you brought a huge student section.
Yeah,
it was
the gym was packed. So I think it's just – I'm not a personal fan of the neutral sites. I know that there's pros and cons to both of it. The contract, I think, that the central section had signed for several years was to host at West Hills Lemoore. The venue was fantastic. I mean, the gym at West Hills Lemoore was great. It just was kind of off the beaten path for everyone in the central section. So hard to get people there and celebrate after you work so hard to get to that stage. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan. I got to play in that environment when I was in high school. And I think it's kind of like the icing on top of the cake, if you will, for girls who work so hard to earn a spot on that stage. And then to be able to do it in front of all of their peers and just kind of feel like everyone's behind you. I mean, the whole gym was packed. Just a really fun environment to be able to play in. So I'm a fan of the home sites. Even if we had to go to Clovis West and do it, I'd do it again.
All right, we got a couple minutes here, ladies. All right, college plans. Where do you guys hope to go? Maybe you've committed somewhere, and what do you hope to major in? What type of classes do you want to take?
So I actually committed to University of Montana Western for volleyball and rodeo, and so I will be studying in their equine program to hopefully do some type of like equine rehab or equine pharmaceutical sales.
Oh my gosh. All right. What I mean, do you go back and forth between your volleyball shoes and cowboy boots? What's that look like?
Honestly, it's day to day. I wake up, I feed my horses, I come to school, go to practice, and then I come back, ride my horses, and feed them again. It's just every day.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, Dakota, what about college plans for you?
I'm planning on majoring in liberal studies. I am not continuing my volleyball career, but definitely going to stay involved somewhere in California and planning to go towards the beach.
Oh, all right. Do you want to become a teacher? Is that why the liberal studies?
Yeah.
Elementary, high school, junior high?
Probably high school, maybe minoring in math, so somewhere that path.
All right. Ava, what about you?
I'm playing beach volleyball at Cal State Northridge, and I'm studying kinesiology to get into the physical therapy program.
Awesome. So, Coach Winslow, you got some final thoughts about this wonderful season so far? Oh, I forgot. State brackets come out
on Sunday.
Sunday
afternoon.
Where do you guys expect to be?
I think it's a toss-up. You know, CIF rankings have us at, I think, 22 as of Thursday. Max Preps has us at 14. So it's a toss-up between going open and being a lower seed or Division One being a higher seed. And honestly, I'm game for either. At this point, I think the state tournament is just like, why not? Like, go for it. Have fun. we're playing our best volleyball. There's no reason to stop now. So just keep the season alive for these girls as long as we can.
Going up north for sure, or maybe down south?
Maybe down south. I think it depends on which division we get placed in, you know, open or division one, and then we'll see from there.
All right. Yeah. Well, congratulations, girls. I was happy you guys were able to come in here and talk about your wonderful season and winning a championships first time in school history. Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, you guys did that in harmony. Look at that. That's a true teammate right there. All right. That's the Clovis North girls volleyball team, Division I champions. When we come back, we're going to talk some more high school football. We got some Clovis Cougars in the house. Hopefully, I'll check around First String Sports to make sure everybody's here. Yeah, more high school football talk. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. Man, what a great group of girls at Clovis North girls volleyball team is. Right? It's always icing on the cake when you win a Central Section championship. But and they did it. They did it. They beat a team that beat them a week earlier in an intense match. So what would they call it? A reverse sweep. So they were actually up on Clovis West 2-0 for a track title, and Clovis West stormed back and won the final three. But they won the one that mattered, the Central Section Championship game at Clovis West. And I wish I was able to go to that one. It was Thursday. I had my own family fun night. That's what we call it, our school carnival. So I was stuck there in the cold for 2.5 hours. Got home around 9 o'clock, but yeah, congratulations again to them. They're going to be playing, they're not sure where, but in the state tournament next week. They could go in the open, could go in Division One. So we'll see about that. All right, so spent a lot of time today talking about high school football and the games that were played last night. We covered the Kingsburg and Redwood game. The Vikings advanced with a 28-6 win. They're going to be playing Golden West. A lot of talk about Division One as well. Again, let's talk about some scores. Central defeated Liberty 35-14. Clovis East over Tulare Union 48-20. Clovis North over Sanger 24-6. And a game that a lot of people had eyes on for different reasons, Clovis and Hanford. Clovis was actually the 4 team, according to the Cal Prep's website. Hanford was 5, but Hanford got the home game because they were 10-0 and league champs. And Clovis absolutely took care of business, defeated the Bullpups 49-31. And a big part of that is their running game. Maddox Merrill had a fantastic night, 3 touchdowns on the ground, a 2-point conversion as well. I think he pretty much sealed the game. What, 66-yard touchdown run late in that one, Maddox?
Yeah, 66.
Amazing. All right, so Maddox, I've watched you play since your freshman year, and now you're a junior, and you guys are in the Final Four in the top bracket. So what was like your favorite play from last night? Was it that huge run, that 66-yard touchdown run?
No, I got to say my favorite play was the opening kickoff return. It just set the tone, and Dez is a dog, and it's so good to have him back. For the playoffs.
Dezier Malone, right? Yeah. And he's missed some games due to some injury.
Yeah.
Took the opening kickoff. I heard it was untouched, right?
Yeah,
like
untouched.
Nobody was close to him?
No, he ran away from everyone.
Where did he catch the ball at? Like the goal line, the 5-yard line? What do you remember?
I don't really remember, but he was just – our kickoff return team blocked it perfectly, and he was just – no one was touching him. He was gone.
What was it like on the sidelines watching that? You're like, he's going to take this to the house.
Oh, yeah.
What was going through your
mind?
We had
a feeling that was going to happen. Everyone always makes a mistake to kick it to Dez. They're never going to learn.
All right, so going into that game, Maddox, like what's going through your mind, right? You guys are traveling to Hanford,
mm-hmm.
right? You guys probably wish you had a home game.
Yeah.
You knew that they were talented on the offensive side of the football. Like what – How did Coach prepare you, or what were you and the guys talking about going into that football game?
Well, we knew we were going into a hostile environment at Hanford because we know that's a big town and they're going to close down the town. Everyone's going to be there. So we were just going into it as positive mindset and that we're going to take down, like, we're the underdogs because no one believes in us, but the only people that we need to believe in us is us. So.
And you guys definitely took care of business. Score those three touchdowns. The 66-yard one that we mentioned was a big one, pretty much like sealed the win. Like, Desiree Malone takes the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Like, did that kind of settle you guys down, so to speak? Or you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, we're gonna smash these guys. Was that kind of the mentality after that?
Yeah, for sure. It's a sign of, like, okay, like, we're good. Like, we had a couple rough weeks, but we had a good week of practice, a really good week of practice, and we just came out there knowing what we were going to do.
The 66-yard touchdown run, was it you just got outside or did you break through the middle? Describe the play.
Our O-line blocked it perfectly to where I could press outside and cut underneath and just shoot through the hole and no one could catch me.
You've done that a few times this year. So what do you think is the best part of your game? Like, you don't mind hitting guys, right? You don't mind getting those extra yards.
No.
But, like, what is your favorite, you know, type of run, or how do you describe your style of play?
I would say, like, I mean, I feel like I'm a powerful back, but I'm also really fast, and I feel like people don't give me that type of recognition. So I would say I'm an all-purpose back because I could catch the ball too.
We've seen that too.
Yeah.
I catch the football out of the backfield. Who's the fastest guy on the team?
Well, we ran 40s back in before the season, and Carlos Young ran the fastest one, but I was second.
You were second?
Yeah. Dez was third.
I would definitely talk about Deegan Rose a bit, but you're way faster than Deegs.
Yeah. Yeah.
No competition in that one. All right, so last night, offense or defense? Like, what were you most proud of? If you look back, like, man, obviously your offense put up 49 points, some special teams. I think you guys have a pick six as well,
right?
We
had two pick sixes.
Two pick sixes.
I got to say the defense. And we had a big stop. We had a fumble recovery on, like, the 5-yard line. They were about to score. So that's huge to get their offense off the field because they're super explosive.
What quarter was that in? Was that maybe second quarter?
I think it was the second quarter, yeah.
Was there any chance of you playing a lot of defense this year?
Well, coach told me because our linebackers, like, they've been doing good, but there's this one spot, and they were telling me, like, if something goes wrong, like, you're in because we could trust you. But from the beginning of the season, I didn't think I was going to play any linebacker, so, and I haven't yet.
You wish you kind of would a little bit? Kind of itching every once in a while?
Yeah.
All right, so the running back position, obviously, you know, how football goes, you try to establish the run, and the run opens up the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how serious do you take that role? Like, man, I got to do my job out there. I got to get the tough yards so our offensive passing game can open up. Like, how serious, like, how intense are you out there?
Oh, like, I'm running hard. I'm trying to run people over. So, like, if they'll start coming scared, and then I can make a move the next time I see them. So if I run through them, then they're going to come scared, and I'll run around them. So it's mind games almost.
What's been your favorite play of the year so far? Is there a play that pops into your mind?
Of the year? I would say my long touchdown run against Clovis East.
I saw that.
Fourth down.
Yeah.
Fourth down, big pile, and I just shot through, and it was gone.
Yeah, that was fourth and short, right? Like fourth and one or fourth and two.
Yeah, we ran the same play. The previous play didn't get it, so it was big.
What's it like for you when you see just the touchdown area, right? Like everything opens up and you burst through the hole and all you see is the touchdown. Like what's kind of going through your mind? Like I better not get caught?
Well, yeah, it's just like I got to put my head down and run as fast as I can.
All right, so Clovis East, obviously, number one seed, 10-0, right? Mm-hmm. Clovis North, right, the number two seed, and Central. Like, how tough is it to play? Like, how hyped or how tough is it to play against those three guys, those three teams?
Yeah, I mean, they're all juggernauts, and we prepare each week for everyone the same, because in the track, anyone could be anyone any given Friday. So it's a great conference. The SEC is a valley.
Is there a guy that you like love to compete against? Maybe a defensive guy you're like, you know, like you kind of like have competition with?
I would say Josh Wilson from Clovis East, because we grew up, we played 7-on-7 together, even though we were from different schools. So I really love competing against him.
He played offense?
No, he played defense.
He played defense against you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
He played linebacker.
Okay. All right, let's go back a little bit, Maddox. You're a Clark kid, right? Went to Clark Junior High. Where'd you go to elementary school?
Red Bank.
When did you, like, start to love football?
I got into it about fourth grade, and then I played Clash, so, like, a league, and then that's when I fell in love with it. That's when I, like, one year, like, I just started scoring a bunch of touchdowns, and I was like, dang, I could really be good at this thing.
What year was that? That was in fourth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade.
You scored some touchdowns. You guys were playing pads back in fourth and fifth grade, right? Yeah. It wasn't flag football. It was pads already hitting.
Yeah.
Was there a moment you said, man, I just started scoring touchdowns, but was there a moment like, man, I'm faster than these kids?
I've been working since I was a little kid with my dad at Athletic Performance. So I knew, like, I had those skills. I just didn't know I could be that good at football.
You play any other sports?
I play baseball, yeah.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, about growing up, like, balancing the two. Like, did you love football a little bit more than baseball? Is there a time when you loved baseball more than football?
Yeah, I feel like it's seasonal. So, like, whatever's in season, I'll like more, I feel like.
Baseball-wise, you play on travel teams?
We can't play on travel teams when we're in high school, but when I was in middle school and elementary, yeah, I played in travel teams all the years.
And what position did you play? Everywhere,
yeah.
You're sticking at third base right now, right?
Well, I played third my freshman year, and last year I played center field, but this year I'm sticking at second base, like, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
No doubt.
You played varsity baseball your freshman year, right?
Yeah.
Played varsity football your freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you feel at any time you were overwhelmed? Like, man, how am I going to compete against these guys? Or did you have the mentality right away of like, man, I can hang with these guys?
Yeah, I had that mentality because I was working out with the guys all summer and training with them. So it's like I get to be around them and see what it's really like to be a varsity player.
And what was it like? Like,
it's just you got to be big and strong and fast, but it's a lot of the mental side of it too, because especially baseball is super mental.
It is. Right, football, you can go out and get your aggression out and hit somebody.
Yeah.
But baseball is different. Mm-hmm. You feel like the guys accepted you? You mentioned, right, that you were, you know, you were training with these guys, right? Training with the upperclassmen. But do you feel like they accepted you because of your hard work and how, like, you could help the team? Like, hey, man, this kid might be able to do some good things for us.
Yeah, of course. I was quiet, like, as a freshman on varsity. I'm going to be shy.
Yeah.
So they liked me, I feel like, because I was always working hard, keeping my mouth shut, doing things right, so.
Was there a play your freshman year? Let's think about football. Was there a play your freshman year like, dude, man, that guy just hit me really, really hard? Or like a coming to Jesus moment, you're like, man, this really is big boy football.
Yeah, we played Garces, and they had like a 300-pound lineman, and I had to like chop block their legs, and they just sat on me. Yeah, and that's when I was like, yeah, they're so big.
Kind of took the air out of your lungs?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. Was that – oh, that was against Garces.
That was the playoffs.
So it was. Oh, yeah, because I know you guys played him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got hurt, though. Was that last year?
Last year.
Last year you broke your leg.
Week three.
Uh-huh. Week three, broke your leg. You know, did you know right away when you broke it, you're like, oh, man, I think my leg's broken? Like, well, what was going through your mind?
No, I thought it was a cramp because it happened, like, the very first play, and then I was playing on it because I thought it was a cramp. And in the third quarter, that's when I made a cut, and I felt it, like, I actually felt the snap, and it was just like, dang.
Were you like in instant pain?
It's not really pain. It's just like a sharp pain, and then it goes away, and it just swells up instantly.
Were you able to – they helped you off, or did the ambulance have to come get you?
No, they helped me off.
Oh, and then you went straight to the hospital?
I stayed the night at a hotel in – where did we play? Whitney. And then I came back to Fresno and went to the urgent care and got an x-ray.
And they said it was broken.
Yeah.
And what did they tell you there as far as rehab and getting back on the field?
Well, since it was my fibula, it's non-weight bearing, so it can heal really quickly to where, like, I can walk on it, but it calluses, like, in, like, 2 weeks. So that's why I was able to come back week 10.
And what was rehab difficult? Was it like, man, it's just another obstacle in life? Like, how did you approach it?
I mean, I did everything I could to get back as fast as I could. I went to all the physical therapy and everything like that, just getting everything back to what it was.
How much do you weigh right now?
Like 185.
185. Yeah. How tall are you?
5'9". Yeah.
Let's bump that up to 5'10". All right. So next time I talk to you, say, yeah, I'm 5'10", 190.
All right.
Get a little 190. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the team and some of your teammates, right? Football is a sport where you're like literally you broke your leg. You're putting your body out there for your teammates,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
Right? You're laying your body out. You're getting hurt. So another guy can score the touchdown, right? Your offensive line does that for you.
For sure.
Who are some dudes on your team that you love playing with and you love watching them compete?
I love playing with Carlos, Dez, James, our whole O-line. Like, I feel like this last game against Sanford, we all just came together, and I really felt like the chemistry that our team had.
How about Deegan? Let's talk about that guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been growing up together, so – it's nothing new with me and him. We've always had that chemistry.
So what's it like at practice, practicing with those guys? What do you love about competing with those guys in practice and then, against those guys in practice and then games? Like, what do you love about the team?
I feel like we're super vocal with each other and, like, always, like, we've been working on being really, really positive with each other, and that's really helping with our play. And, like, the way we come together as a team.
So, you mentioned how tough those track teams are. Now you guys are in the Final Four in Division I AA. Like, you guys felt you really came together in this Hanford game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, losing those three games is no fun, right?
No.
Those three games in league, no fun. You guys come back with a fairly close win against Clovis West, 14-10. And then the game that you guys played last night, like, you really feel like this team is gelling at the right time?
At the right time, yeah. I feel like we're peaking at the right moment. And anything could happen in November.
Baseball. Let's talk a little bit about baseball. I know it's football season. Again, you're playing with Deegan. You're playing with some other guys. Like, what do you love about baseball?
I would say I like the mental side of it, how it's like – I feel like based on your performance is just – what's in your mind, and like if you're being positive, you're gonna do good, but if you're negative, then there's no chance.
Yeah, right? Like, if you think about it, if you get 3 hits out of 10 at bats, that's pretty good, right? You're hitting 300.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 4 hits, you're a darn good hitter out of 10. That's a 400 hitter. But what are you gonna do with those other at bats, right? You make an out,
mm-hmm.
you got to come back and get mentally strong, and hopefully then your next at bat, you're gonna have a much better AB. All right, Maddox, I got another question here for you about future. Like, you're only a junior. You still got a lot of football ahead of you, but do you have some football goals in college?
Yeah, I want to play at a D1 school. I'm just going to keep working hard and performing, and whatever works out. So
It's been a lot of fun, Maddox, watching you over the last 3 years. I know you're playing a really tough Clovis East team next week. You got baseball season and then your senior year. So thanks for coming on. We're excited for your future, and good luck next week.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Maddox Merrill, Clovis High. We're going to take a little break and come back and wrap everything up. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, another great show here at String Sports, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Make sure you guys come on down here, check things out, selling all kinds of cool stuff. Man, I love doing my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. There's a wall of hats. You got Clovis West, Bullard. You got Roosevelt. I see Buchanan there. see what, 1, 2, 3 Letterman's jackets all laid out, getting their patches on, Bible verses, whatever you got one on your Letterman's jackets. First String Sports, definitely a place to be. Thanks to those guys. They've been my day one sponsors. Do a great job. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report. All the shows are there at your leisure. Actually cut out the commercials on those. Listen to them whenever you want. Also, our games that we broadcast, last night's Kingsburg-Redwood game, all the games, a great Clovis North and Clovis East game from last week. You could go under Friday Night Lights and listen back to all the action. It's funny. We had Coach Dave Wilson of Kingsburg on, and he drove after the game to his daughter's swim meet in SoCal, and he listened back to the game. So coaches do that too. They go back and listen to the stuff that that we say about the kids, and it's fine if you guys disagree with what we said. Fine, let us know. We got no problem with that. But we love to broadcast games. We love to get kids' names out there, give them some love, let everybody know all the good stuff that's happening in the Central section. Thank you guys for listening. It's all for you guys. Really appreciate you. Appreciate these guys. Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jeremiah Cunningham did a fantastic job producing the show. Dave Wilson, Trevor Horn, the Clovis North girls volleyball team, and Maddox Merrill, one of the great football players in the track. That dude is a load. His Clovis Cougars are going to be playing Clovis East next week. Stay tuned. We don't know what game we're going to do next. Phil Benanti and I are going to be talking about that. Tons and tons of options. That's definitely one. Clovis, Clovis East, Clovis North, and Central. Great stuff happening in the Central Valley. Again, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you. We will talk to you guys next week. And happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. We appreciate you. All right. Talk to you later.